the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pucharani Nuvasesa Sinuvani Paskatyade Sitarani. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapadakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahaganam Ravita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Vanchakalpachivascha Kipasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namaham. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. December 1st, 2023, in Mayapur, India, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 1, Text 31. Shemam Sakashche Duryodhana Aste Ya Falgunad Labdha Dhanurasya Vebhinja Jasa Joksha Jase Vayaiva Gatim Tariyam Yati Bir Durapam. Kshemam. All good. Saha. He. Kashchit. Weather. Yuyudhanaha. Satchiki. Aste. Is there. Yaha. One who. Palgunat, from Arjuna, Labdha, has achieved, Danu Rahasya, one who understands the intricacies of military art, Lepe, also achieve, Anjasa, summarily, Adhoksaja, of the transcendence, Sevaya, by service. Eva, certainly. Gatim, destination. Tadiyam, transcendental. Yatibhi, by great renouncers. Durapam, very difficult to achieve. Srila Prabhupada's translation. O Uddhava, does Yuyudhana fare well? He learned the intricacies of the military art from Arjuna and attained the transcendental destination, which is very difficult to reach even for great renouncers. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The destination of transcendence is to become the personal associate of the personality of Godhead, who is known as Adhoksaja, he who is beyond the reach of the senses. The renouncers of the world, the sannyasis, give up all worldly connections, namely family, wife, children, friends, home, wealth, everything, to attain the transcendental bliss of Brahman happiness. But Adhoksaja happiness is beyond Brahman happiness. The empiric philosophers enjoy a transcendental quality of bliss by philosophical speculation on the supreme truth. But beyond that pleasure is the pleasure enjoyed by Brahman in his eternal form of the personality of Godhead. Brahman bliss is enjoyed by living entities after liberation from material bondage. But Parabrahman, the personality of Godhead, enjoys eternally a bliss of his own potency, which is called Gladini potency. The empiric philosopher who studies Brahman by negation of the external features has not yet learned the quality of the Ladini potency of Brahman. Out of many potencies of the omnipotent, there are three features of his internal potency. And what are those? Without, if someone who's not looking, what are the three features of the Samvit, Gladini and Sandini. Good. And in spite of their strict adherence to the principles of Yama, Niyama, Asana, Dhyana, Dharana, and Pranayama, what did Srila Prabhupada not list there? He did not list Pratyahara. What else did he not list? Samadhi. And he also doesn't have them in order. Right? Pranayama would go before. Yes. So in spite of their strict adherence to the principles of Yama, Niyama, Asana, Dhyana, Dharana, and Pranayama, the great yogis and jnanis are unable to enter into the internal potency of the Lord. This internal potency is, however, easily. Does Prabhupada often say that?
Yes.
Easily realized by the devotees of the Lord by dint of devotional service. Yuyudana achieved this stage of life just as he achieved expert knowledge in military science from Arjuna. Thus, his life was successful to the fullest extent from both the material and spiritual angles of vision. That is the way of devotional service to the Lord. Shemam sakachchit yudana aste yapal gunad labdha danu rahasya lebhain jasa doksha jasevayaiva gatim tadiyam yatibir dirapam. O Uddhava, does Yudana fare well? He learned the intricacies of the military art from Arjuna and attained the transcendental destination, which is very difficult to reach even for great renouncers. So what does Srila Prabhupada say at the end of this purport? Right, he speaks a lot about the difference between Brahman realization and Bhagavan realization. He talks about the Ladini potency. And then he also picks up, briefly at the end, how Satyaki was not only expert in attaining the shelter of the internal energy, but also learned the art of military science, yes? And so Srila Prabhupada writing at the end, thus his life was successful to the fullest extent from both the material and spiritual angles of vision. And the next word he has is that. That is the way of devotional service to the Lord. So what is that referring to? Success both materially and spiritually. Yes? So first Srila Prabhupada is defining spiritual success, and then he's saying that Yudana Satyaki had both. So life successful to the fullest extent. Who would like that? Who would like a life successful to the fullest extent? All right. Some of you don't care, but okay. So I often say, you know, no parents say to their children, I want you to be a failure. Right? Nobody says that. Please grow up and be a failure. There's no books like that in the books, no bestsellers, How to Be a Failure. We want to be successful, yes? And I remember many years ago, one guest at a Sunday feast said, why can't you have both material and spiritual success? Well, obviously, you can. So let's look first at what is spiritual success. What is the spiritual side of the success? And we're going to look at that in a general way. We'll do that very quickly because I'm assuming all of you already know that inside out, backwards, forwards, upside down. And then we're going to look at some really nice statements that Srila Prabhupada makes specifically about the Ladini potency and taking shelter of the Ladini potency. And then we're going to look at the material expertise and how to put that together. So the highest destination, this question was asked by Uttara of Parikit. She said, I don't believe that all the devotees attain the same destination. How is that possible? And sometimes, like Srila Rupa Goswami will say in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, same destination. Kamsa and the gopis, they achieve the same destination. And Srila Prabhupada comments on that. What does this mean? You could say spiritual perfection as like one thing. Spiritual perfection. But there is varieties. Right, so most religions in the world, what are they aiming for, do you think? Swarga. Yeah? Ordinary dharma. When we were in the Middle East, we visited one mosque, and there was the tour guide there was telling us all about Islamic philosophy. And the guide was saying, you know, our goal is to go to heaven, and there we will enjoy according to how we behaved on earth. I thought, okay, that's karma kanda. So most religions are teaching like this. We want to go to a place that's better than earth, which shouldn't be too hard because this is the lowest of the middle planets, so getting better than here materially isn't very difficult. Prabhupada says in Swarga they're enjoying thousands of times greater sense gratification. You know, their pizzas are thousands of times better than our pizzas. Yes? And so, and they live for a very, 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 very long time. There's that nice story in the Mahabharata, I forget his name, he was offered to go to Swarga. And he was asking questions about it. And, you know, you live for a long time and then your garland starts fading. And then when your garland starts fading, has this one started fading yet? Then you know your time is up. You know, on this planet, your eyesight starts going, your hair color goes away, you know, your hearing goes away, your tasting, everything. Gradually, it's not just your garland, like everything fades. So there's just the garland, then you fall down to earth. And he said, well, I don't want to go to some temporary situation. I reject this. It said, and Sanatana Goswami's describing, right? He described Gopakumara becomes a king on the earth, and then he becomes Indra, and then from there he goes to the higher planets. He goes to the Prajapati's planets, and he goes to the Gyanis' planets, and he goes to Lord Brahma's planet and becomes Lord Brahma, and he goes to the coverings of the universe. So most religious people have no idea above Swarga, right? They know, they haven't read that part of the Bihadbhagavatamrita, so they don't know all these other. And in these layers, it's explained it was the subtle forms of enjoyment, which were, and each level was thousands or millions of times greater happiness, right? And then from there he goes, I mean, I'm simplifying it. He's coming and going often. But he goes to the Brahman, and that was actually kind of scary. He was like, oh, I'm going to merge into the Lord, and he was meditating on his mantra. And after the Brahman, who does he see? Anyone know? Shiva, he sees Lord Shiva. Right? And those people who think that Lord Shiva is God, there's a lot of them in India and some outside of India. And then he sees the Vishnu Dutas, and who are they? And Ganesh takes him aside and says, the devotees of Lord Shiva don't know there's anything higher. Don't tell them. This is just for you. You know? And then he goes to the Vaikunthas. And in Vaikunthas, right, he's not so happy. And from there he goes to Ayodhya, and from there he goes to Dwarka, and finally he goes to Goloka Vrindavan. Again, this is, I'm giving a very shortened rendition. But there are these different levels. And of course, different personalities may be satisfied at one level or another, but even beyond the spiritual in general, there are these different levels. And most people don't know anything about this in the world at all. Maybe they know about heaven. They have some knowledge of Swarga. Or maybe they know something of Brahman, isn't it? Right? You'll have all these spiritual or quasi-spiritual or who knows. That they know something about Brahman. And there may be some knowledge of Paramatma. God the Father, God the Witness, God the Creator. Right? God the Friend. Something like that. But what we particularly have as followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I was just talking with one scholarly devotee about this, we particularly have the knowledge of Shaktis and the knowledge of Rasa. This is the particular gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean, all over the world, so many people have some understanding of God, correct? Still, you take a poll, the majority of people, do you believe in God? And they say, yes, I believe in God. what are you doing about it? Nothing. But they believe in God, you know? Or they're doing something, please God, you know, save my aunt from cancer, and please, you know, I want to go to heaven, or I want salvation, bhakti and mukti. And then you have, of course, some, like in India, some of the sampradayas, they have some understanding of Vishnu, and they have some understanding of avatars and Krishna, but not so many actually understand these higher things, isn't it? Yes? Of course, then the question also, and I'm not going to get into this very much, but we could also ask the question of, are we also doing this? Yes, I believe in these things. What are you doing about it? That's another question. You follow? Like you go to, if you did a poll of just people on the street anywhere in the world, and you said, do you believe in God? Over 50% would say yes. And if you say to them, what, how does that show up in your life? They're going to be very little, or even almost not at all. So this next topic we're talking about, I'm going to go a little bit into the Shakti, because Prabhupada's talking about that here. So the question we should be asking ourselves, is this simply a theological or philosophical construct by which we can think, oh, I know so much more than everybody else on the planet? Or is it something that we're actually doing something about? Does that make sense? Yes? So please, let's think about that as we're going through this. So I wanted to turn to Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila chapter 4, where Krishnadas Kaviraj talks about the Ladini Shakti. He's talking about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's internal reasons for incarnating, and I'm just going to read some pieces of here, starting with text 59. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj is using this word, Ladini Nama. Her name is Ladini, Swarup Shakti, Ladini Nama. And then in text 60, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami makes what I find to be a very astonishing, wonderful, and I don't want to say the word he uses, but that's what it is. He says that Ladini energy gives Krishna pleasure and nourishes his devotees. So this is a nourishing statement, isn't it? Isn't that what the mother, doesn't the mother nourish the child? Yes. The mother gives pleasure to the father and nourishes the child. She nourishes the child in the womb. She nourishes the child with her milk. She's giving nourishment to the child. You know, people think, I mean, and the main reason that one remains a conditioned soul, in spite of both the carrot and the stick, we all feel the stick, yeah? Adi Daivik, Adi Bhotik, Adi Atmik, everybody experiences that every once in a while, right? Sometimes. In spite of how miserable it is having a material body and being in the material world with other materially conditioned people who also have material bodies, and how miserable our false ego is making us, and how miserable other people's false ego is making us, and how enchanting, Prabhupada says we should be captivated by this information, how captivating the spiritual world is, still, we may not really be wanting to surrender because we're thinking, well, just Krishna's the enjoyer. Bhaktirang Jagatapa Sam, he's enjoying everything, and everything I do is meant to be given to him to enjoy, and what am I going to have? So we're being beaten by Adi Adi. I mean, it's not just me that's suffering, right? Okay. So we're experiencing the material suffering, and we're all attracted to Krishna. If we weren't attracted to Krishna, we wouldn't be here in Mayapur Dham sitting here, correct? So we're attracted to Krishna, and we're suffering on the other side, and still we're thinking, I don't really know if I want to surrender to Krishna, because with him, what's in it for me? I'll surrender to Krishna, and what will I have? I'll just be there, Krishna, you're the enjoyer. And many times, I'm sorry to say, in our Hare Krishna movement, devotional service is presented like that. That the more you're suffering in service, the more advancement you're making. If you do something you hate, and you're bad at, and it's against your nature, but you're doing it to make Krishna happy, then that's a sign of your surrender. And so, you know, we sometimes have this concept that Krishna's the enjoyer, like some kind of a despot, you know? Like, you know, I wonder in the other religions of the world who talk about God sending you to an eternal hell, if you don't believe in him in this one little puny life, why do you want to be eternally with such a person? Why? Like this Muslim lady said, you get to the gates of heaven and there's three questions you have to answer. You know, there's an exam. Who's God? Who's the prophet? And what did you do in your life? And depending on how you answer, you burn in an eternal lake of fire or you get in. And I'm like, sheesh, you know? Even an ordinary teacher lets you retake an exam. And it's just, Hare Krishna. So what's our view of God? Are we thinking that God, that Krishna's enjoying with his Ladini potency? He's enjoying, and I'm simply supplying him his enjoyment, and I'm just empty. But Krishna Das Kaviraj is saying here that Ladini energy gives Krishna pleasure and does what for the devotees? Nourishes the devotees. Right, so I'm just going to read some certain sections from this purport. This is Adi 460. And maybe other things in the purport would have jumped out to you, but this is what jumped out to me, and I hope you also find it nourishing. Prabhupada says, only devotional service can help a devotee meet the Supreme Lord face to face. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is attracted by devotional service. So, of course, this is one of the characteristics of devotional service given by Srila Rupa Goswami, that it attracts even Krishna. Okay? I'm skipping some sentences here. What is the particular attraction that makes the Supreme Lord enthusiastic to accept devotional service? So Prabhupada says devotional service attracts Krishna, but why? Then he says devotional service is reciprocation between the two, the jiva and Krishna, and therefore it cannot be located simply within oneself. Therefore, the bliss of self-realization, Brahmananda, cannot be equated with devotional service. When the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and please listen, I'll repeat this, but it's just one of those. When the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is exhibited by His grace in the person of a devotee, that manifestation is called love of God. Quote, love of God, unquote, is an epithet for the pleasure potency of the Lord. Therefore, devotional service reciprocated between the Lord and his devotee is an exhibition of the transcendental pleasure potency of the Lord. So why is Krishna attracted? By devotional service. And why does that take us to Bhagavan realization and to Goloka? Because Krishna, by his grace, exhibits his Ladini potency within us. Are you all following this? Yes? Okay. The Ladini potency gives the Lord all transcendental pleasure, and the Lord bestows such a potency upon his pure devotee. That's the last sentence of that purport for 460. In Adi Lila. Isn't that nice? It's not just that we're, you know, oh, there's the Lord and there's his potency. It's bestowed upon us by the Lord. That's the meaning of Mahatmanastu Mamparta, Daivi Prakritim Ashritaha. When it says we're under the shelter of Daivi Prakritim, it's not just that we're under her shelter, but we're infused with her energy by the Lord's grace. And therefore, we can exhibit love of God. And that's attractive to the Lord. What's attracting him is his own potency, which we are then filled with. And that also nourishes us. Now, something that I quote a lot because I just think it's so enlivening is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in quoting and commenting on the Sri Shikshastakam, Anandam Buddhivardhanam, it's an unlimited ocean. He says the jiva is limited, but when the jiva is associated with the Lord, the jiva is also experiencing this unlimited ocean. When we join together the Lord and his pleasure potency, or when we desire to please the Lord, we are also nourished by that same potency. Now, the key of understanding this is that Krishna is not envious. For myself, as a conditioned soul, I'm full of envy. You know, I want you to be smart, but I want to be smarter. I want you to be rich, but I want to be richer. I want you to be beautiful, but I want to be more beautiful. You follow? I always want to be a little better than everyone else. I'm happy to share my stuff with people, but I want to make sure that I have a little more myself. You can have a nice car, I have to have a better one. You can have a happy marriage, mine has to be a little happier. A little bit. But Krishna's not envious. He has no envy. And Krishna shares with his parts and parcels, the living entity, everything. Have you ever thought about the liberation? The four kinds of Vaishnava liberation? One is Sharsti. Well, you have the same opulences as the Lord. You get practically the same form as the Lord. That's another thing from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Gopal Kumara kept thinking he was seeing God. No, I'm not God. But you look like God. The Ladini Shakti that's filling the Lord, he's sharing with the others. And in the fifth chapter of Adi Lila, Krishna Das Kaviraj says that when Krishna is happy at seeing the gopis, they enjoy 100 times or 100,000 times more than he does. And I'm like, what? How are the devotees enjoying more than the Lord, whose enjoyment is unlimited? And someone can say, well, that's poetry. But it isn't just poetry. This pleasure of the Ladini potency that fills the devotee with love of God is unimaginable. Anyone talking about Swarga with their 1,000 times better pizzas, they have no idea, even the Brahman, which is like a gazillion times more fun than just floating in the ocean after a hard month of work. They have no idea that Krishna is sharing his bliss with the jiva. Whatever bliss Krishna is enjoying, he's sharing with us. And what bliss is Krishna enjoying? Akila Rasamrita Murti. All possible pleasures. Even we were in the Delhi airport and they were advertising something, where they were showing some, what's the dance where they put those things on their faces? No, Bharatanatyam, they don't do that. In Kathak they do that, they put that, and the big paint on the face and the big thing. Yeah. And they were advertising all of the rasas, and they were showing there all of the rasas, and they were showing how the dancers were displaying all of the rasas as part of Ram Lila. And one of them is disgust. Right? And they were showing. At least in Indian airports, they're having advertisements about Ram Lila and rasas, so that was nice. But all the rasas, everything one could possibly want to enjoy. Even disgust, right? Someone says, ooh, there's a disgusting thing on the road. And you go, oh, I want to see. Even that, all possible tastes. Not just 1,000 times better pizza, but thousands and thousands and thousands of varieties of pizza, and thousands of varieties of ice cream, and thousands of varieties of relationship, unlimited. And Krishna's enjoying them all simultaneously. I once read a near-death experience of this one minister, and he said that he went to this realm where God was being glorified by thousands and thousands and thousands of voices. And it, all together, it made a harmonious symphony, but you could make out each individual voice also. And I thought, that is Akila Rasamrita Murti. That Krishna is enjoying unlimited, infinite relationship with all of the 5 primary and 7 secondary rasas. And it's a symphony, and yet each one is being enjoyed individually by the grace of the Ladini potency, and Krishna is infusing us with that. And that is love of God. I'm going to read a little bit from Prabhupada's commentary on Adi 562. The Bhagavad Gita confirms that anyone who understands the transcendental nature of the Lord's appearance, activities, and disappearance becomes eligible for freedom from material bondage upon quitting the present material tabernacle. He can enter the spiritual kingdom to associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and reciprocate the Ladini potency in transactions between him and the Lord. Shall I read that again? And reciprocate the Ladini potency in transactions between him and the Lord. So our question is, am I simply going to believe this as a really cool and amazing theological, philosophical principle, or what am I going to do about it? What can I do to put myself under the internal potency of the Lord? So, of course, there's some simple answers to that. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself exhibited this mood of the Ladini potency, so taking up the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and taking up the benevolent mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which, of course, is exemplified by our Srila Prabhupada. In so many ways, he says, Krishna consciousness is not narrow or stereotyped. And to try to engage as far as we can, according to our present level, in selfless service, really trying to take pleasure in Krishna's pleasure. And of course, we also do this practically by how we are chanting our mantras. So we have a Hare Krishna, Hare Rama mantra, because we are not only calling out to Krishna, but we are also calling out to his Ladini potency. And when we are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, we are bringing together the Lord and his Ladini potency. And when we do that with the proper consciousness, then we also get nourished by that potency. I was also meditating on how we're doing this. As some of you may be aware, that the Shastric Advisory Council's paper on the Brahma Gayatri was recently published by the GBC. So in this Brahma Gayatri mantra, there's also a very nice meditation on the Lord and his internal potency. Now, one could understand Varenyam as applying to Savitur, the worshipful Lord. Prabhupada, in translating it, basically has it applied to Bhargo. Bhargo is the Lord's potency. Varenyam Bhargo, the worshipful potency, Devasya, of the Lord. Let me meditate on the Lord, the Savitur, and let me meditate on the worshipful potency of the Lord. By doing so, what happens? I become enthused. Yes, that is the mantra. Above everything, above the 3 planetary systems, above mind, intelligence, and ego, is the effulgent Lord. I meditate on that effulgent Lord and his worshipful potencies. By meditating upon them, they enthuse me. So this mantra, this is not some mundane Varnashram mantra for, you know, some astrologer, Brahmins or something. This is a bhakti mantra also. And you can say, well, it's taken as a mundane mantra, but consciousness also matters, you understand? I always give the example, the gopis are saying, hey nat, hey nat. And the Christians are in their church going, oh Lord, oh Lord. But they're not calling exactly with the same consciousness, yes? So anyway, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, chanting our Gayatri mantras, worshipping the deities, worshipping the deity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, worshipping Radha Madhava, But the Ladini potency is infusing the whole spiritual world, Mother Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj, Subal, Sridhar. Yes, we are meditating on being enthused with this potency of the Lord. All right. But there's another thing here to being successful to the fullest extent. And we got so absorbed in the Ladini potency, perhaps some of you forgot what that was. What was the other thing? What was the other thing? The material expertise, right? And it's really interesting that at the end of this purport to Adi 462, Prabhupada says something really interesting here. He says, each of the three divisions of the internal potency, the Sandini, Samvid, and Ladini, influences one of the external potencies by which the conditioned souls are conducted. So there's a correspondence between Sandini, Samvit, and Ladini, and Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas. Such influence manifests the three qualitative modes of material nature, proving definitely that the living entities, the marginal potency, are eternally servitors of the Lord, and are therefore controlled by either the internal or the external potency. In other words, even when we're being controlled by Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas, those are perversions or forms of the Ladini, Sandini, and Samvit. Everybody with me? Yes? Okay. So we have our guna and karma. Krishna says, chatur varna mayashristam, guna karma. Correct? And we usually understand that guna to mean the gunas. Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas. Now that generally refers to how we were conditioned by gunas from previous lifetimes. Because if you change your gunas in this lifetime, you don't change your varna. You understand? Yes? And Krishna's advice to Arjuna, please listen very carefully, Krishna's advice to Arjuna is do your duty according to your qualities, but rise above the modes. Am I correct? Did Krishna say, do your duties according to your qualities and stay under the influence of the modes? No. Rise above the modes. Now, when you rise above the modes, what's going to happen is those qualities that had a material manifestation are now going to have a spiritual manifestation because they're just the material side of the spiritual. Now, our spiritual perfection is that we realize our eternal nature and our eternal relationship with the Lord, and infused by the Ladini potency, we exchange love with the Lord. We become the ideal expression of our ultimate real self. Now in this world, we have, all of us have a false self, correct? Right? We're all walking around in this false self. What Prabhupada called our psychophysical nature. And it has a particular nature. It has a particular stuff. It has a particular inclination. It has a particular dharma. And what we are meant to do in this world, while we're cultivating our eternal self, is we're also supposed to become expert in how to use our temporary false self in Krishna's service. And that Prabhupada called life being successful to the fullest extent from both the material and spiritual angles of vision, that is the way of devotional service to the Lord. Not one-sided. Not just like the religionists who say, well, I'm going to be a dharmic, honest, good person in this world, and I'm going to offer my talents and my inclinations to the Lord, and they stop there. And not the people who say, well, I'm just going to focus on the spiritual, and I'm just going to read the Rasalila chapters, and I'm not going to do anything of any practical value in the world. You follow? Does what I just said remind you of some shastra? Not just the material, not just the spiritual, but one has to have both. Where is this? Where is this? Isha Upanishad. No vidya avidya. Asambhutim sambhuti. Both. To be expert in both. It's one of the qualities of a devotee is daksha. And Prabhupada's using this. Just as he achieved expert knowledge in military science, expert. Srila Prabhupada gave classes in Mumbai in 1976, talking about the Brahmachari Ashram, and he was talking about Gurukul for children and the Brahmachari Ashram, and he was going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And he says, not that one should become callous. He said, not that because you're a devotee, you should become callous to the material side. He said, you should be expert. He said, the devotees, and he was talking specifically about Brahmachari training, Gurukul training. He said, they should know something of everything and everything of something. Something of everything and everything of something. So this is why Prabhupada wanted us to learn Varnashram. So that we could find out what is my nature, what is my guna, and to have the corresponding karma in which we become expert. And that means to do it above the modes of nature. Part of our Varnashram Dharma is that we function in it above the modes. We function in it as a devotee. I'm doing this to please the Lord. I'm not doing this just because I want to satisfy the desires of my psychophysical nature. I'm using it in Krishna service. So this is our complete holistic view. That transcendence is above simply some heavenly idea, and it's above the Brahman. It's personal. It's a personal loving relationship with the Lord out of his total non-enviousness, shares his complete bliss with us and enlivens us. And not only does he enliven us with the Ladini potency, he also enlivens us with our expertise in this world in his service. Actually, first time I was ever asked to speak on these verses, just recently in Calcutta, in Newtown Temple, they gave me the verses from Bhima fighting with Jarasandha. And in the purport in 39 and in the verse of 40, so Bhima he's very expert in fighting, yes? He worked hard to become expert in fighting. And he and Jarasandha were both very strong. They were so strong, my dear friends, that when they were hitting each other with clubs, what was breaking? The clubs were breaking. You know, don't try this at home. Right? They're hitting each other with clubs, so they're hitting their shoulders and their thighs, which I thought was interesting. And, you know, the different parts, and the bones weren't breaking, the clubs were breaking. And still Bhima says, Nashaktoham Jarasandham Nirjetam Yudhi Madhava. I don't have the shakti to fight with. I cannot, Nirjetam, I cannot become victorious, Yudhi, in battle. And then Krishna, Apyayam Swena Tejasa. He gives his Tejas to Bhima. And then, of course, he also breaks the grass. So it's not only spiritually that in order to love God, we're infused with the Ladini Shakti, but even so-called materially, we are also infused with the Tejas of the Lord to work, use our psychophysical nature in his service. And thus we can present to the world a holistic view of what is success. That when someone says, I want to be successful, what does that mean? So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So according to my instructions here, I have 8 minutes to... Yes, Rameshwar.
It was like months of
but I hope you could still summarize it. I hope it wasn't overwhelming.
I want to ask you to explain again how it is that the different features of the Ladini potency somehow enter into this universe and affect the modes of nature. I'm trying to understand how you were shown.
Because Srimati Radharani or Lakshmi Devi's expansion is Durga. Just like Lord Krishna expands as Shiva. It's the same concept. They come, but they turn into what you call in India curd. They turn into yogurt.
You're saying, Vajini potency infuses a pure soul.
Yes.
Durga infuses
the conditioned soul.
The conditioned soul to not only forget Krishna,
but to be under certain modes. Yes, of course. Prabhupada saying, yes. And it's very nice in Prabhupada's purport to Gita 4.24, how everything is spiritual. Prabhupada talks about how do you turn the material back into the spiritual. And I was just again the other day hearing your class. I mean, our book Krishna Meditations is based on this concept that ultimately everything is spiritual. That when you start using things in Krishna's service and you see Krishna everywhere, then one lecture Prabhupada says three times, there's no material world, there's no material world, there's no material world. When you start becoming enthused with Krishna's energy, even in your material work, it ceases to be material. And what's influencing you is no longer the material gunas. What's influencing you is now the shaktis of the Lord. They come back to they reveal their original form. Is that okay?
Only makes sense to me if I'm using my material abilities in Krishna's service.
Correct. Absolutely correct. Why would he do that otherwise? As soon as you're using your material abilities for your own sense gratification, then by definition you're under Durga. That's what it means. Because then you're not even perceiving reality. I'm saying you, but you know, a person is not then perceiving this world as it is. Vasudevam sarvamiti, sarvakalamidam brahma. Prabhupada says in chapter 20 of Krishna book that Maya exists only within the mind. The perception of the world as material is a perception. Ultimately, it's Krishna. But if you perceive it as Krishna, you can't exploit it. It doesn't work. So if you want to exploit it, you have to not see it as Krishna. It's just like if someone wants to kill an animal and eat it, they have to see it as not really a living being. You follow? They have to think it's just kind of an object. You know, if you want to rape someone, you have to see the person as like, you can't really see them as, if you're going to kill or rape or steal, you have to see the object of your exploitation as an object. So we see the world as an object. We don't see it as the body of God. Oh, it's a tree. I can cut it to use it to whatever I want. No, it's the hairs on the body of God. So, you know, we're perceiving it wrongly. And therefore, how can I use my abilities in Krishna's service if I'm perceiving the world wrongly? It all goes together. When I want to serve Krishna, then all of a sudden I see that my body, my mind, Krishna says of senses, I am the mind, my body, my mind, my senses, the world is all Vasudevam Sarvamiti. It's all the Lord, it's all his energies. And then naturally I use it for him. Because it's already him and I'm already part of him. So it's all very interconnected. Is that all right?
Can I ask one other question?
Yes, and then I had two other people who wanted to ask things.
The way you describe the Vajini potency affecting every soul in the spiritual world, interaction with Krishna, that becoming this unlimited ocean to bhakti. And then you describe that we as souls can enter into that and we're allowed to experience it.
Well, just hearing him say that, isn't it captivating? Prabhupada says once you become captivated. Anyway, sorry. But you can. Oh, but you can. That's the philosophy of Thank you, everybody. Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. You can, as a jiva, that's why it's called achintya. So you can be just me and Krishna. And all I feel is me and Krishna and the exchange of flavor between me and Krishna. Or I can experience Krishna. And I can experience all the flavors that Krishna is experiencing at one time. And so why? Yes, well, that's why it's called achintya. Because we go like, what? That's why it's called achintya. We can talk about it. But it's something you have to experience, like a mango. You know, I can talk about a mango, but you have to taste. So my question to myself is, why haven't I yet jumped into this ocean? That's my question to myself. But we have a question here, yeah?
Mataji, thank you for the wonderful class. Is it, like, what I have understood, to be successful materially, one has to be an expert?
Yes.
To be successful spiritually, does one have to be an expert?
Yes.
Okay. So, Mataji, then, in material life, the definition of expertise is very vague nowadays. You know, there is always new terms coming up where you become an expert in, to be successful in material life. You know, in spiritual, the fundamentals are there. You know, you please the spiritual master. It's all clear. It's all one thing. It's not changing. But in material life, now it's all pushing buttons.
Okay. Okay, so material success, by Shastra, doesn't change. By Shastra, material success is you should become successful in your dharma. There's four main categories. We have our book here also if you're interested. And I'm giving seminars on this in the Mayapur community. We have two more days of that on what is Varna Dharma. So you be expert in your dharma. The outside in the world, they're not teaching expertise in the dharma. The other two expertise, which is always changing, is expert in the information. That's constantly changing. An expert in the craft, in the skills. And that may be changing in different circumstances. But the dharma, the main dharma, to be expert in the dharma, that is remaining constant. So out in the world, they're going to teach you to become expert materially in the information and expert in the skills. But they don't even know about the dharma. They don't even understand the dharma. And that is the unique contribution of Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and so forth. How to become expert in the dharma. Okay, I need to stop now. I don't want someone to come and take me away. So again, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.